Author and speaker Mary Cassian asks, how are you spending your time?
So many of our young women today are idle for the kingdom. They are wasting kingdom time. Just their whole purpose is being out there to catch a guy because they think that's what's going to fulfill them. And as we talked about this morning, there is no guy on the face of the earth that is going to fulfill your needs. Not a one.
This is Revive Our Hearts with Nancy Lee DeMoss for Monday, July 15th.
Women have always faced temptation. And of course, that goes back all the way to Genesis chapter 3, that scene in the Garden of Eden. But I think that women today are having to deal with some temptations that are a little bit different than those that were faced by their mothers or their grandmothers. Well, today my friend Mary Cassian is going to describe for us some of the challenges that women face in today's world. And she's going to point us to a timeless solution. Mary's been a regular guest here on Revive Our Hearts, and today we're going to listen to a message that she gave at the first True Woman Conference in 2008. And I'm delighted to let you know that Mary will be joining us again for the next True Woman Conference in 2014. Mary's also the author of the book, Girls Gone Wise in a World Gone Wild. Now, let's listen to Mary's message contrasting a wild woman with a wise one.
Now, most of you would have heard about the Girls Gone Wild phenomena. Right? The buses that go around the country to various places, various beaches, particularly when there is spring break. And for the price of a t-shirt, the young women are asked to do all sorts of things. Say, if I give you a t-shirt, would you bare your breasts for me? And these women do it. And they do things that are a lot more vulgar and crude even. And I remember the time when such things would be just shameful and you wouldn't even think of it. That would be even a disgusting thing even to ask of a woman. But times have changed and women have changed and the girls have gone wild. Have you noticed how aggressive girls have gotten? For you women who are a little bit older. For you women who are younger, you've been raised in a society that teaches you to be very aggressive and go for it, and if there's something you want, to go for it. So we're going to be talking about some passages of Scripture. I'm going to be doing a contrast between what the Lord teaches us, what we should be as women, and His Word gives us some directions about what that means for our behavior. Nancy loves to teach from this passage as well. I do it a little bit differently, but it is a very telling, revealing passage in Proverbs chapter 7 that I would like you to turn to right now. Proverbs chapter 7. Now, in this passage, there is a father talking to his son about how to be smart and how to live wisely. And he gives a warning about a certain kind of woman. This passage paints a picture of the wild woman, of the type of woman that the father wants the son to be wary of, the son to avoid this type of woman. So by taking this passage and a little bit out of the chapter just before and contrasting it to some other passages in scriptures, we can paint this contrasting picture and we will see it developing. 21 contrasts between the wild and the wise. So I'm going to start reading chapter 7, and we are going to read the entire chapter. My son, keep my words and store up my commands within you. Keep my commands and you will live. Guard my teachings as the apple of your eye. Bind them on your fingers, write them on the tablet of your heart. Say to wisdom, you are my sister, and call understanding your kinsmen. They will keep you from the adulteress, from the wayward wife with her seductive words. At the window of my house, I looked out through the lattice, and I saw among the simple, I noticed among the young men a youth who lacked judgment. He was going down the street near her corner, walking along in the direction of her house, at twilight, as the day was fading, as the dark of night set in. Then out came a woman to meet him, dressed like a prostitute and with crafty intent. She's loud and defiant, her feet never stay at home. Now in the streets, now in the squares, at every corner she lurks. She took hold of him and kissed him, and with a brazen face she said, "I have fellowship offerings at home. Today, I've fulfilled my vows. So I came out to meet you. I looked for you, and I have found you. I've covered my bed with colored linens from Egypt. I've perfumed my bed with myrrh and aloes and cinnamon. Come, let's drink deeply of love till morning. Let's enjoy ourselves with love. My husband is not at home. He's gone on a long journey and will not be home till full moon." With persuasive words, she led him astray. She seduced him with her smooth talk. All at once, he followed her like an ox going to the slaughter, like a deer stepping into a noose till an arrow pierces his liver, like a bird darting into a snare, little knowing it will cost him his life. Now then, my son, listen to me. Pay attention to what I say. Do not let your heart turn to her ways or stray to her paths. Many are the victims she has brought down. Her slain are a mighty throng. Her house is a highway to the grave, leading down to the chambers of death. And let's just flip back to Proverbs chapter 6, and we're going to also read verses 23 to 26. For these commands are a lamp. This teaching is as a light, and the corrections of discipline are the way to life, keeping you from the immoral woman, from the smooth tongue of the wayward wife. Do not lust in your heart after her beauty, or let her captivate you with her eyes. For the prostitute reduces you to a loaf of bread, and the adulteress preys upon your very life. All right, so this passage paints a picture of a certain type of woman. Type of woman that is not a woman of God's heart. Type of woman that men need to be careful of. And I think, as you'll see, as we unpack this passage, the type of woman that our society says that we should be. The first point of difference between a wild woman and a wise woman is perspective. A wild woman is preoccupied with outward appearance. So either what she looks like, her physical appearance, dressing in a way that's alluring, dressing in a way that's attractive, whatever, there she spends a lot of time, as Sex and the City girls do, on those designer shoes. Now, I like shoes. I mean, we're girls, we like shoes. But just a preoccupation with externals, with external things, with appearances, just the preoccupation with that stuff. And when you contrast that in the other passages, the wise woman knows that physical appearance is secondary to spiritual heart condition. That man looks at the outward appearance, but God really looks at the heart. So she concerns herself with her heart. She has noble character. She is clothed with strength and dignity instead of just the latest Prada fashion. So that's point number one, perspective. Number two, modesty factor. We see that this woman, the wild woman, is one who flaunts her body. Like a prostitute, it says in verse 10. Modesty has gone out the window, hasn't it? And young women are taught, and sometimes older women also, you see them dressing, and you're going, what are you thinking? I have three sons. Now, my sons are almost, some of them are grown men, some of them are just on the cusp of being. My oldest son is 24. He just married the most beautiful girl in the world. And my middle son is ready to turn 22, and my youngest is 19. And so I have these three boys in my house, and I remember one day being out with one of my sons, I believe it was Matthew, my middle son, and there was a woman who walked past, a young girl that walked past, and she was dressed very, very seductively. Okay, she was spilling out everywhere. And she walked past, and it wasn't just what she was wearing, it was the way she was walking. And she kind of gave my son the eye, and I'm thinking, So I asked him, I said, what do you think and what do you feel? Like, what do you think when you see a woman like that? And that's a pretty daring question. I thought he might avoid it. And he said to me, Mom, to be perfectly honest, she arouses the male in me, but she does not appeal to the man in me. That's a good answer, sweetheart. But it's true. And we need to watch how we dress. And women now are taught to use their sexuality as power. That if you dress in a way where you can seduce a man, where you can be sexual, where you can, that it's powerful, it's the sexual women who have the power. That's a lie from the pit of hell. It is. A woman who is wise dresses modestly. The passages, the words in the passage, modest, temperate, decency. How about this, the femininity factor? This is almost the opposite. Now, I need to tell you, I was raised in a family, I have five brothers. I was the only girl. As the story goes, my mom was praying and praying for a girl, and after four boys, she was praying and praying for a girl, and one night she woke up and an angel whispered in her ear, if you want a girl, tonight's the night. So she woke up my dad. And 9 months later, I was born on Remembrance Day. What's the point of that? The point of that is that I grew up in an all-male environment. As the only girl, my mom wanted desperately to have me be a girly girl, and that was the last thing I was going to be. Okay, I was not a girly girl. These ruffles almost give me palpitations, okay, to put these on. Pink is not a word in my wardrobe. And I would just be happy not to wear makeup and do the cute girly. I never understood it. Girls were scary to me. But the Lord convicted me that He made women and He made women beautiful. And He wants us to enjoy our femininity. And so many of us run around sloppy, and we don't care, and we don't wear makeup, and I'm that way half the time. And I need to be very intentional, often, about being feminine. I have to think, okay, my husband has looked at ugly enough days in a row. Let me read a verse for you that may startle you. It startled me when I found it. It's in Deuteronomy 22, verse 5. A woman must not wear men's clothing, nor a man wear women's clothing, for the Lord your God detests anyone who does this. Wow. That's kind of startling, isn't it? That's very interesting to me. And I think the point of it is not so much, oh, women shouldn't wear pants, or, you know, that we can make hard and fast rules for every culture, because I think it will look different from culture to culture. But I think the point of it is this. God created us men and women, and He wants His men to be men and His women to be women. So for some of us who have grown up in this culture, that's going to take a little bit of work and a little bit of intentionality. Because some are drawn to dress immodestly and to dress in a way that's just sexual, and others love that sweatshirt and sweatpants and will not part with it, right? So the Lord has to challenge our hearts to correct us and bring us into balance one way or the other. The femininity factor. To begin saying, yeah, there's something that is important about femininity. I'm very competent in a lot of things, very independent, but there's something that God values about femininity, about that softness that He has made a woman to be. Femininity factor. Number four, body language. Body language. We see here that the wild woman is flirtatious, she's physically forward and suggestive, she's shameless. In the passage, it uses the words brazen. So she's the one that comes up, grabs the guy, and kisses him. body language. She's very flirtatious and suggestive. The wise woman guards her dignity. She doesn't resort to deceptive charm. We see words in the passages of Scripture like purity, decency, worthy of respect, doesn't use deceptive charm. Women do have power in terms of just alluring men. And we all know what that's like, to try and be brazen and to try and be forward and be the one that stands oh so close. All right, number 5, time and energy. It's another difference, 5th difference. The wild woman hangs out in places where she might attract men. She lurks. She lurks. We're told in the passage that she's out in the street squares. She hangs out at every corner. Okay, the public places, the places where she is going to hang herself out like bait to look and to pursue and to catch men. The wise woman, on the other hand, is busy with personal mission, not with catching men. She's busy with good deeds. She does not eat the bread of idleness. Her arms are to the poor, hands to the needy. I was talking to one of my sons about the woman that he would find and marry. I said, you know what? When you find this woman, she's not going to be there just with nothing to do and putting herself in places to find you. This woman is going to be a woman of mission. She will have mission and purpose for the kingdom. And so many of our young women today are idle for the kingdom. They are wasting kingdom time. Just their whole purpose is being out there to catch a guy because they think that's what's going to fulfill them. And as we talked about this morning, there is no guy on the face of the earth that is going to fulfill your needs. Not a one. Now, if the Lord gifts you with a great relationship, that's a wonderful and beautiful thing. Brent and I have been married for 25 years and is the richest, most beautiful relationship I could dream of from an earthly perspective. But still, he is not the one who ultimately meets my needs. It's the Lord Jesus Christ who gives me my identity, my surety, my confidence, who I am. And I need to be about the Lord's business, as do all of us. So, women who spend inordinate amounts of time, and I'm just going to talk to you young, unmarried women at this point in time, and also women perhaps who are single or unattached. What is it with Christian women going out to bars? I don't get that. Now, you might call me old-fashioned. You might say I'm out of touch. But in my mind, you are having that lurking street corner, every corner, out there, hanging out the sign, trolling the waters, trying to catch your male, kind of a mentality that Scripture says you shouldn't have. Pursuit. I need to make a confession. There was a girl calling my youngest son. This was the day before cell phones. And she was calling and calling and calling and calling, and I just exercised my parental authority, phoned the phone company, and had her number blocked. Before I did that, I tried another tact. I said, you know what? I will take a message. Yeah, he's sitting there right on the couch, but I will take a message. And he will phone you back. But girls today are taught that they can be the initiators in relationships, and it really doesn't matter. You should go for what you want. If you see a guy you want, go for him. Pursue him. Chase him. Let me tell you what that does. I have seen it time and time again where women have done that. They've gotten the guy. They are the ones who have initiated. They phone him. They pursue him. They chase him. They get the wedding running and going. They are in control of the relationship. 5-10 years down the road, they hate him because he's a couch potato. And because they're tired of doing everything and running the house and having a man who is passive or passive-aggressive. The way that you date turns into the way that you relate when you get married. The way you relate to men overall sets patterns for your marriage. It's important the patterns you establish and how you relate. And we are told in Scripture that the woman, the wild woman, is the woman who comes out, who takes hold of him, the woman who looks for him and preys upon him. Whereas the wise woman is the woman who wins him over with pure, holy behavior. She won over her husband. Sarah regarded Abraham as master. In other words, there's a reverence and a purity and I'm not going to go out and get. I am going to be a prize worth getting. I am going to be a woman of God. And I am worth pursuing. Because God says so. The holiness and the relationship and the whole picture of Christ pursuing his church. Remember, if we're talking about male and female as being a mini picture for us of the relationship of Christ, between Christ and the church, and furthermore, an intertrinitarian relationship, we learn a lot about God because male and female were created in his image. If that's the case, then this stuff matters. Godly women know how to have that sweet, gentle spirit, that purity and that holiness that says, I trust God. I don't have to go and pursue and be in charge. God is in charge, and I can trust myself to him.
And that really is such a key foundational truth for all of our hearts. God is in charge, and I can trust myself to him. Well, we've been listening to the first part of a message that Mary Cassian delivered at True Woman 08. It's been amazing to me at all the True Woman conferences to watch thousands of women come from across the United States and from other countries of the world, drawn by one common desire. They want to see God cultivate in their lives the kinds of qualities of a wise woman that Mary just described. Mary's written a terrific book called Girls Gone Wise in a World Gone Wild. This is a great resource for women of any age, and I remember the first time I read through it thinking, this is a book I wish I had written. It's just so chock full of great insights that can be applied for every season of life. But it's a book that I think is particularly valuable for college-age women, women in their 20s, young women who are grappling with some issues in our culture and our world that are particularly difficult. So moms, grandmoms, you may have a young adult daughter or granddaughter. This would be a great tool to give to that young woman. And we'll be glad to send you a copy for yourself or for a young woman in your life when you support Revive Our Hearts with a gift of any size. Your support means a lot to us. And it will help us here in these summer months when we usually see a drop in donations. So be sure to ask for the book, Girls Gone Wise, when you call us at 1-800-569-5959. Again, that number is 1-800-569-5959. Or, of course, you can visit us at our website and make a donation there at reviveourhearts.com. Now, that web address, reviveourhearts.com, is where you'll also find information about the next True Woman Conference, True Woman 14. And it may seem like it's a long way off till next fall, but I'll tell you, it's not too early to get this on your calendar and start making your plans and perhaps start putting a group together to come from your area. True Woman will be coming to Indianapolis in October of 2014. Mary Cassian will be with us, along with Johnny Erickson Tata and Janet Parshall and others. So you can get all the details at reviveourhearts.com. Now, the scripture encourages us as women in particular to cultivate a gentle and quiet spirit. You might wonder, is that really possible today? Well, Mary Cassian is going to address that question when she returns tomorrow right here on Revive Our Hearts.
Revive Our Hearts with Nancy Lee DeMoss is an outreach of Life Action Ministries.